Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. Now, I'm thinking of the need of setting forward. Not camping, but moving. Moving as a church. The only way for us to move as a church is for the individual members to move. The only way to increase the power in the church is for the individual members to increase the power in their lives. Amen. And the only way to produce greater victory in the church is to have greater victory in the individual members' lives. Amen. So I'm thinking of you and me moving forward. And he said, thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. Now God forbid that we would ever be satisfied to sit where we are anytime. Regardless of where we are, how far we are along the line, God forbid that we should be satisfied to sit there. Let us realize that there are higher heights, deeper depths, longer lengths, and broader breadths in the things of God than any of us have ever reached yet, or that any of us will ever reach. There's plenty of room for expansion, and when you expand, there's plenty of room for more expansion. Amen. And for more increase and more moving forward. And when you get there, there's still room for more. And when you reach that terminus, there's still room for more. In the 47th chapter of Ezekiel, we have a lesson there of a man with a measuring reed. And Ezekiel is having a vision here. And this man with the measuring reed measured 1,000 cubits and led him through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Well, that is a poor stopping place. But the man with the measuring reed just kept going. He measured 1,000 cubits and brought him through, and the water was to the knees. And he just kept going. He measured 1,000 cubits and led him through, and the waters was to the loins. And he just kept going. And made 1,000, and it was a great river to swim in, and that could not be crossed over. No man could get over it now, a great river to swim in. But the idea is they just went, and then they went some more, and then they went some more, and then they went some more. There's never any place for children of God to camp. We know from the scriptures what happened to the children of God in camp. He said Gog and Magog just went up and compassed the camp of the saints, just surrounded them and hedged them in when they camped. Now we are thinking about moving forward, but he said thus were the journey. Along this route, and in this way, God has certain prescribed rules and regulations in His Word for you and me to go by if we're going to move forward.
Yes, amen.
We can't move forward on our own principles. I read once about some soldiers in the Sac War, and they locked their general up, their commanding officer, in a high tower and went out to fight the battle on their own principles. The result was a miserable defeat. People today are doing this same thing. They're locking God and His Word up in the high tower of reverence and respect, but they're going on out to fight their battles on their own principles, and the result can only be miserable defeat. God has prescribed rules and regulations in His Word for our moving forward and our spiritual progress, and it will work just that way if we follow the rules and the regulations. There's a text in the second chapter of Numbers in verse 34. He'd been describing there the setup of the camp. And there were three tribes on each side of the tabernacle. East, west, north, and south. Now that was where those tribes belonged every time the tabernacle was set up. They belonged right in their place. It was prescribed by God Himself. The layout was made. And each one of these tribes would fall right in their place. Three tribes on the north, and three tribes on the south, and three tribes on the east, and three tribes on the west. Every tribe had their standard. In Numbers 2:34, first let me say that God wants the camp moving forward as a unit. That's the way the children of Israel move forward. That's the way He wants you and me moving forward. As a unit, every man in his place. We have a description of God's army over in one of the minor prophets. I don't remember for sure now just which one. But among other things, several things it says about them. But among other things, he said they would walk every man on his own way, and one would not thrust another. In other words, they's going to be in step. Every man right in his place, falling right into position. Remember, God set all the members in the body as it pleased Him, and He wants you and me just falling right into that place and walking right on our way, and not one thrusting another. Oh, He told a great thing there, that prophet did, about the armies of God, and they'd just really storm a place and take the place and so on, but they went in order and walked in their way, and not one thrust another. This text now in the second chapter of Numbers in verse 34, it said, and so they pitched by their standard, right in their place, and by their standard, and so they set forward. Folks, God wants you and I pitching by our standard. We have some standards. And God wants you and me abiding by those standards. Holding them. The very first principle of moving forward in a church is for that church to be definitely committed to its standards. what it believes in. We have a text in 1 John 2:24, and it says, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. That which you heard from the beginning. Jude said in the 3rd verse of his epistle, he says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now, I have an idea in my mind that there is some need along that line now. Yet, Jude said, I thought it needful to write to you and exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now that faith does not refer to the faith that brings the answer to prayer. Oh, that's a part of it. But faith in this text refers to the doctrines, the truths that was once delivered to the saints. Contend for that. Amen. Hold for that. Amen. Now Jude wrote his epistle 66 A.D. That was 33 years after the crucifixion of Jesus. The church was still young and was very active at that time. But he said, I consider it needful to write to you and exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Then he went ahead to tell why. He said, because certain men have crept in unawares, and they're bringing in damnable heresies and denying the Lord that bought them. And many are following their ways. It didn't take the church long to get affected with heresies, did it? It didn't take the children of Israel long to forget all of God's mercies over in the land of Egypt that He wrought in their behalf. And it said that they understood not His wonders in Egypt, and they forgot His mercies and provoked Him at the Red Sea. And that was just before they got clear out of the land. Didn't take them long. It didn't take spiritual Israel long to get plagued with heresies and people coming in among them, bringing in damnable heresies and denying the Lord that bought them. That's pretty rank, isn't it? That's getting pretty far out. But he said, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And way down here, that was in 66 A.D., and way down here in 1982 A.D., I feel that it's needful for you and me to earnestly contend for the faith which was once back there in Jesus' day, back there in the Jerusalem church, in the early times of this gospel age, delivered to the saints. Now, God delivered them the truth that He expected to carry them clear on through this dispensation of time. Amen. And if it was truth then, it's truth today. Amen. And John said, that which ye have heard from the beginning, Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. This was to go right on from one generation to another generation to another generation, right on down the line. Paul said to Timothy concerning his faith. His faith was traditional in his line. He said he at first dwelt in thy grandmother Eunice, then it dwelt in thy mother Lois, and now I'm persuaded it's in you too. That made it traditional in that line, right on down the line, that faith, to follow it right on through. So they pitched by their standards, and so they set forward. God will bless us if we refuse to remove any of the landmarks that's been set by our fathers and pitch right by our standards. I heard a story once of an attack being made by an army. It was on a fortified position, and this army was charging up this hill against these fortifications. And they were being cut up badly. A lot of casualties. The standard bearer, he was up ahead of everybody and just charging right on into the enemy position. But the soldiers were falling back, and they were being shot up and cut up badly. And the commanding officer cried to the standard bearer, and he says, "Bring back your flag." And the standard bearer looked over his shoulder as he ran, and he says, "I won't do it. You bring up your men." And they rallied to the standard, and the result was victory. They gained the position. Folks, the standard that God has put his seal on in days past, he'll put it on there now. And when we rally to our standards and wage our attack against the enemy, the result will be victory. God will put his seal on it. So they pitched by their standards, and so they set forward. In the second chapter of Nehemiah, in verse 12, we have here a case of Nehemiah. He's in captivity, but he has been permitted to take a number of men with him and go back up to the city of Jerusalem. It's lying in ruins up there. The house of God's lying in ruins. And Nehemiah got up there with the men that were with him. And now this says, "I rose in the night." He was so burdened about the situation that Jerusalem was in, and it lying waste and in ruins, and the house of God in ruins, and it really affected his heart till he couldn't sleep and rest, and he got up in the night. He walked about and surveyed that whole situation. Now, the result of that was, it began there and worked in a chain of events right on up through there. And Nehemiah and his company received a commission from the king to rebuild that up there. Raise it up. Set things in order. They didn't only receive a commission from the king to rebuild it, But they got letters from the king to governors over across the river that had the king's forests under their control to cut and prepare wood for Nehemiah and his company, supply them with materials to build that place. And the king let them go over there and build it. Folks, you and I need to be deeply concerned and continually searching out our conditions. And to seek ways and means of setting forward, gaining some ground. Let us never be satisfied with just marking time, just going to church on Sunday and Sunday night, and a few on prayer meeting night, and just marking time. But let us be searching out our own hearts and our own conditions, and seeking ways and means to improve our situation, to move forward, to gain some ground, to increase with the increase of God. In the second chapter of Nehemiah, in verse 20, now here, there are some of the adversary come up, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. Said they heard about it and they laughed us to scorn and despised us. Said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered thou them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. Folks, we need to have a confidence and an assurance in our hearts that God will prosper us in the efforts that we put forth to move forward, to gain some ground, to increase with the increase of God, that God will prosper us, that he will bless us, put his seal upon it. When we pitch by our standards, move forward in our place, faithfully perform our service to God in whatever capacity God has called us and in whatever place he has placed us, we need to have a confidence and assurance that God will prosper the efforts that we put forth. I've carried a conviction in my heart for a long while that there is nothing quite so great an incentive to moving forward as to see something to move forward to.
Amen.
If we can have a vision, if we can see something to move forward to, if we can get a broader perspective of the things of God, of God himself, and the abundance of his grace in our souls, we'll see something to move forward to.
Amen.
Then that's an incentive to move forward. There's something out there. Paul said, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen.
Amen. Yes.
The things that are seen are temporal, and to many of us that's all we can see. Some of us can't see past the end of our nose. But the things that are not seen are eternal. And that's what we need, is a broad perspective of the spiritual and eternal things
Amen.
Of God. The higher heights, the longer lengths, the broader breadths, and the deeper depths to move forward. You put forth an effort to improve your life and put it forth in faith and confidence that God will prosper your efforts, and you'll find yourself moving forward some and gaining some ground. Amen. In the things of God. Paul said, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. Well, if we're just putting forth human efforts in the flesh to gain some ground and move forward, that's just equivalent to beating the air. Amen. We'll not get anywhere that way. But he said, I bring under my body and keep it in subjection. I'm whipping all that humanity down. And all that human reasoning and human effort and everything that people depend upon so much in this day and time, this age of the world, most of the religion of our day is a works religion. And it's just religion. I'm not concerned about religion. I'm concerned about a person, an individual, and my connection and association with him, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus is not a religion. He's a person. He's a Savior.
Amen.
He's the Son of God. He's our mediator and our intercessor between us and God.
Amen.
And it's that person and that individual and my relationship with him that I'm deeply concerned about. And I'm not interested in any degree in religion. The world's cursed with religions today. But I want to hold up the person, Jesus Christ. Now we read in the second chapter of Haggai in the 14th verse. No, that's the first chapter, I believe. First chapter, in the 14th verse, where it said, God stirred up the hearts of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and of Joshua, the son of Josedech, to build the house of the Lord. Those folks got stirred in their hearts about that. Folks, let us realize that if there is ever any forward move, you and I have to get stirred in our hearts about a forward move. We have to recognize the need for a forward move. We have to recognize the benefits of a forward move. And we must be inhibited with the... Well, I'll just say this. This is a common word, actuated. We need to be actuated by a sense of the blessings of moving forward. If you don't have a vision of some blessings and some reward in it, you'll never pay the price. You'll never put forth the effort. But we need a perspective of the need and of the benefits and of the blessings to incite us and activate us, get us up and get us going to move forward. So now God stirred up the hearts of these men to build, and then we read in the fifth chapter of Ezra in verse 2, where these two men, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, and others of the priests and elders with them, rose up and began to build. Let me tell you something, folks. Well, first let me go on with that thought. And then it said, there were the people of God helping them. They got in there helping them. Leadership is needed. Something to excite people is needed. Somebody getting up and getting on the move. And other people will follow right along and help build. We need people. Let me say it like this. There's no profit in one waiting on another. And thus don't be like Brother Zinn's wife said to him a short while before she died, and she wasn't a saved woman, but she could see this. She said, Victor, I note that you preachers are always talking about this needs to be done and that needs to be done, but said somehow or other you always want somebody else to do it. You're waiting on somebody else to do it. There's no profit in waiting for somebody else to do it. If you get an urge in your soul to move forward, rise up and begin to build. And then you'll find other folks following in order. Joshua and Zerubbabel and some of the elders among them rose up and began to build. They just started. Then he said there were the people in there helping them. They got in there. If we're going to move forward, somebody has to take the lead in it. And you get a few folks that just really get excited and activated by an urge in their souls for a forward move to make some advancement, some increase of the increase of God, and let them just rise up and begin to build and just start moving forward and see God's blessings upon them and His seal put upon their efforts. And you'll say, I want some of that too. And you'll get in. God's got it all outlined here. Just how to move forward. Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. Now in Ezra, the 4th chapter, we have here, Ezra was up there on this job too, in another phase of it. Nehemiah built the walls and Ezra built the temple, I believe. And here in the 4th chapter of Ezra, he says in the 1st verse, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel unto the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Now, the adversaries, they saw the work was going on, and they wanted to get in on it. Did you ever see anything turn out like that? I remember a time when Opal and I started a Sunday school down in the country, southwest of Clovis, New Mexico, when we were living there. And that was an isolated place down there. They called it the Blackwater Draw, and it had just about cut off from the world. Nobody ever paid much attention to those people in there. But we started a Sunday school down there, and incidentally, it turned out to be one of the most interesting works we ever had. And those people were interested. And we'd go down there every Sunday afternoon and start Sunday school about 2 o'clock and have Sunday school all afternoon, maybe till 5 o'clock when the folks had to go and do their chores. Just Sunday school. But everybody got into it. There were lots of questions. Some of them didn't make much sense, but there were lots of questions. And the questions made openings for discussions and explanations and exposition of the scriptures. And I counted it a real profitable work. There were several folks got saved down there. Some of them died in the faith. But what I started out to tell you is kind of a funny deal. Hadn't been anybody out there for years to pay any attention to them people. And when they saw we had the interest going there and them people rallying to it, here come the Baptists and wanted in. Then the Church of Christ come and they wanted in. And one and another, here they come. They wanted to get in and help. Well, that's the way with these folks here. There's something going on here now. They're building up this place. So now we want to get in on it. We want to work with you here and build a temple for your God. But folks, do you know if we're going to set forward, if we're going to make real spiritual progress as a people and as a church, it has to be kept clean. It has to be kept free from all intrusions and from cooperating with people that don't hold our standards, don't believe in what we believe in, don't live the kind of life that we live. The work has to be kept clean if it's going to prosper, if it wants to move forward. And these men said to these adversaries that came up there and had all that proposition, and here, we want to get in and help you build that house. They said, you don't have any partner, Lord, in this house of the Lord to work with us. You're our adversaries. You don't believe in what we believe in. And you don't have any part in this, but we ourselves together. Folks, that's the way to do it. If you want to accomplish anything, do it together. Move forward as a church. Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. We ourselves together will build a temple to the Lord our God. It must be kept clean. It must be kept free from intrusions of people that do not hold the truth. And from people that hold the truth in unrighteousness, it must not be accepted as a part of the work of God. We ourselves together will build the house of the Lord our God. And now he says that we are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit, but everything isn't built into it, and everybody doesn't have any part in the building. Now, I preach that the unity that Christ prayed for is all-inclusive, but it is also all-exclusive. Well, now that sounds like a contradictory statement, doesn't it? But it'll include everybody that shows forth the fruits of the Spirit of God, and it will exclude everybody that doesn't. You and I are wasting our time trying to be in harmony with some things and some people. God doesn't want us in harmony with everything and everybody. If the work is to prosper, it must be kept clean. And it must not only be that. Now let me see how I want to say this now. Well, we don't want a stiff arm position. And it must not be just holding somebody out with a stiff arm and saying you can't come in and work with us. But it must be a disposition of heart. A condition in our soul that we just don't have fellowship with people that don't believe the truth. And that close themselves off from the standards that we believe in. Now, everybody may not be up to the standards that we believe in. But when they close themselves off from those standards and debate against them, we can just say you don't have any part in building a house to the Lord our God. We will build it. God help us to build it. And help us to move forward faithfully, consistently, and in order, every man walking on his way, not one thrusting another, but that we will move forward in the will of God, in the place where God has placed us to serve in the body. And let me say, folks, He's placed everybody somewhere. He never put anybody in the body to just sit there. He never put anybody in the body as an observer. He's put everyone in there someplace for some purpose to do some work. And you and I need to find our place and in every operation fall right into that place and move right along in that order. And not be debating and thrusting one another and accusing one another and pointing the finger at one another and criticizing one another. But everybody move in his order, in his own steps, right in his own place. And not one thrusting another, but move in step as an army moves by our standards. And God will bless us with success. Amen.